There are a number of types of closed circuit or loop flights you can undertake. The main ones which count for the XC League are FIA triangles, which conform to the 28% rule, where the shortest side must be greater than or equal to 28% of the total distance, and it has to be closed by the pilot returning to the original start point. This type of flight gets the highest multiplier, and flights over 25 kilometers get an even higher score. A flat triangle is one which doesn't conform to the 28% rule, and many people submit out and return flights as flat triangles. Kai Coleman has won the British Cross Country League once and been runner-up three times. He's also the ex-British distance record holder. In the last few years, he's got really into doing triangles, and he seems to relish the challenge of closed-circuit flying. Since he flies in my local area, we've got used to seeing him disappear, only to materialise again as a little spot in the sky some hours later. Kai's something of a triangle purist, favouring point-to-point triangles over flat or optimised out-and-return flights. He refers to some specific flights in this podcast, links to which can be seen on the podcast page at www.judithmole.net/blog. My first question to Kai was what he liked about flying triangles as opposed to open distance.
Well, one of the main things I get from it is to fly in your local terrain and get to know your local terrain better. And often you do straw in on a hill and get away from that hill, and you're looking out in front and it's terrain that you never get to, or you just see the sailplanes flying. So it was really nice to actually get out there and explore that terrain. One of the other main factors is not having to bother getting retrieved back. Massive motivator, that one.
So how important is it to know the terrain?
Well, I think in this country it's not massively important really, because the terrain isn't so big that it gives you definite places you can go to go up. It helps, I think, you get to a hill or a trigger and that will help, but it's by no means guaranteed that you're going to go up. Whereas maybe if you're in the Alps somewhere obviously high, that you can be pretty sure that if you make it to that mountain, you're going to go up all right. So I think here really the terrain is really, you're flying by the clouds rather than the terrain. It's more important to try to suss out what the wind is doing and what it's going to be doing later in the day. So I try to fly the first leg upwind, do the hard leg first, just really because that's my natural instinct mainly, to try and do that leg first. If I've done that, then I feel like the rest is going to be reasonably easy compared to that. It's not necessarily easy, but easier than what it's just been. So I feel like, it's good to go upwind first, psychologically. And then I think you have to be careful about getting back to close the triangle if terrain might be in the way, or if the wind combined with the terrain can be in the way. I mean, for example, there's a triangle earlier this year. I thought that it would be a good plan to skirt to the north of the Mynd and then kind of use the hills. Once you've got past the Mynd and all the hills to the north of the Mynd towards the Stiperstones, to then use those hills to help you back to the Mynd. You can't really sort of ridge them like you can the Mynd, but they kind of lead you back to the Mynd. So obviously if the wind is still westerly, then they're going to kind of help you get back. But to penetrate through that westerly, it felt like it was easier to do it. You have to take your opportunity to do it, basically. We had an opportunity when we got high over behind Stretton to just go for it. It looked like the clouds would help us.
You said that you needed to know what the wind was doing later. So do you look for a specific forecast?
No, not really. No, I mean, I think if you're really trying to prepare it properly, you would check the wind at different altitudes at different times of the day and then pick your legs accordingly. I think one time I was quite lucky with a triangle where I felt like the wind had switched in my favour at the right time and brought me back. Yeah, generally, no, I don't. I just kind of take the opportunity as it arises. I try to use the clouds that I see in front of me because they kind of block the wind. If you're on your first leg, if you're going upwind, they kind of block the wind to a certain extent. So if you can kind of hop a few clouds once they're close together, you can get upwind quite well, really, even when it's reasonably windy.
When do you make the decision to fly a triangle? When you're on the ground or when you're already in the air and you've got a feel for the wind and for the air of that day?
Yeah, good question. Well, I mean, the ground decision is, if it's a triangle day, I get quite excited. I think if it's less than sort of 8 miles an hour, I'll be thinking, right, a triangle. If I can't afford a late day and getting back late, then I might try something in windier conditions. I think I was quite successful once, but hard work, but possible. So yeah, basically, my priority would be to do a triangle if it's sort of less than 8 miles an hour, and if the sky looks good and the right kind of sky is building.
Okay, there's different types of triangles. Can you tell me a bit more about which ones and what types there are and what your preferences are?
My natural instinct is also to try to do, actually just to do a triangle. So to fly one leg of the triangle, fly the second leg, and then can fly back on the third leg, rather than fly out and return, fly out and return, and fly out and return. That's my natural instinct. So a triangle could be either three legs of a triangle from where you start and come back, or it could be an out and return one way, an out and return that way, an out and return that way, and you've made a triangle. As long as you get back to where you started, you've close the triangle for the XC League. You can't get the record doing it that way. You have to go point to point to point, and back to the your triangle has to begin and end on one of the points of the triangle for the record. But for the league, you can, do three out returns effectively to make a triangle. And then when you're doing that kind of triangle, then you can use the train. For example, at the Mynd, you can really use the train to do a triangle in that way, because you can fly out from the Mynd, say 10K. Say it's into wind, hard work, but you do it. Getting back's no problem because you're downwind, and you just use the hill to ridge saw one way and back, and then the other way and back. And then what you can also do at that stage is you can get a smaller triangle in the bag, so you do all of that work, and then after you've done that, go back to one of the ends, the corners, the easy corner along the Mynd. Wait for a nice thermal at the end of the Mynd. Get high and then fly further out and then come back and kind of stretch it in a safe way, or you can just take a gamble and fly further out and maybe risk landing, but that's all part of the fun. But I just like the idea of flying point to point to point, and when you get back, I do then yeah then it's nice to think, well, maybe I can stretch this once I've got back. So I've got a triangle in the bag, that's done. Now I can think about which direction should I fly to make it longer. If you are trying to do like a pure triangle, point to point to point, and you're not trying to get the record, you can make the decision later in the flight that where you started from could actually end up being halfway or midpoint along one of the sides. So you don't need to think, well, if I've only done 6K out, well, this isn't going to be much of a triangle. You can think, well, that's 6K off part of one side. I can later on when I come back, I can make that side longer, and I don't have to do that by flying back to the hill. Effectively, you're putting the start point where you take off somewhere in the middle of the triangle by doing that. It doesn't have to be on one of the corners, that's the point I'm making. So you don't have to think, oh, this triangle is doomed because I haven't made the first leg long enough. But what you do have to be careful about is the leg that you can't get back to once you've closed the triangle, that is long enough to give you the triangle that you want, if that makes sense. It's quite hard to describe this without actually having a picture. So if you imagine you fly, say you fly 10K out from the hill, okay, in a direction, and then you fly another 10K leg, and then you fly back 10K to the point where you started. Well, there's one of the legs you now can't get back to, can you? The one that's out in front. So that is fixed at 10K now. Unless you decide to go back out there and come back again, then you're really doing some hard work. But at that point, you can, when you get back to the hill, then you can stretch the other two 10K legs. You can make that point further away, probably up to 15, 14 or 15K for the FAI 28% rule. So you can make a good triangle much, much better with not much work and with no risk, because you've already closed the one triangle. But my point is that, yeah, there's a leg that you can't get back to that limits how big the triangle can be.
So how do you use your GPS? Do you mark your turn points in advance or what? I mean, if I set a goal to launch, I know how far I've come from my first leg, but what about the next one? With the 28% rule, don't I have to be careful not to fly too far?
No, it's, well, it doesn't matter if you fly too far, because you still get a triangle. It would just be you can't make full use of the distance you've flown, but you'll still get an FAI triangle from it. I think one of Graham Stewart's triangles this year was looked like a figure of eight, quite a big one, obviously, about 20K wide and 10K high. The triangle was a really flat-looking triangle, but it was still an FAI triangle, because if two sides are only 28%, that leaves you with 44%, is it, for the other side? So that's a hell of a lot longer than those two sides. It's surprising how flat the triangle can be and still be FAI. So, but in terms of the GPS, I use the two GPSs really. I use the 76 for the actual picture of the flight, so I can kind of estimate, you know, that it looks like a triangle and that I'm flying a triangle by looking at the screen and the map, the picture. And I use the other GPS just to give me my go-to distances between the points. So you do have to remember to actually mark and enter the point when you've decided, right, I'm turning now, because you can forget that because you're so busy. So what I do is when I take off, I do a go-to takeoff. And then when I know how far I am away from takeoff, then obviously at any point. And if I'm, you know, if I'm doing a pure triangle, I'll fly, you know, that distance. And then when I've decided to turn, I'll just mark and enter that point in the air and then do a go-to that point. But at that point, though, there, you don't necessarily have to fix that one in stone. You can then say, well, if you end up drifting further away, mark another one, you know. Or if you decide to... One technique for making triangles longer is if you're nicely at base and you think the cloud is long-lasting, just fly off the cloud in the direction you want to go to make it longer and come back and climb again. But obviously mark and enter once you're at the point where you turn around and come back. It can be risky if the cloud decays on you, but that's all part of the fun.
So what triggers your decision to turn back? Is it just the clouds, or do you just keep pushing it to get more distance?
Oh no, it's limited by the clouds and by a sort of basic distance. At the moment I'm aiming for the minimum side to be 20k. So if I haven't done 20k on a leg that I can't get back to, that I was talking about earlier, then I would perhaps hang around the air longer, wait and see what develops, if something's holding me up, if there isn't a cloud to go to. Or if I think that's risky, I'll perhaps just quit and say, well, I mean, for example, the triangle I did from the Rican, the leg that I couldn't get back to was 16k, 17k. And I knew that. I knew that's what it was. I knew that would mean that I couldn't get the record. But so what, you know, at the end of the day, time was moving on and there wasn't a cloud to go for at that moment, you know, and I didn't want to wait any longer. So I just changed direction and pushed on the next leg. So basically at the moment for me, it's, you know, you do need to have an idea what that, you know, what size triangle you're trying to do and whether you're going to be happy with the result if you have to cut it short or, you know, if not, you just stick at it and if you bomb, so what, you know, at least you tried.
I've always had it in my head that you have to be really good at maths and you have to do complicated calculations in the air to do good triangles. Is that not the case?
Not really, no, I wouldn't say. As long as you keep the basic triangle shape on your GPS track, you know, you can see that and just follow that. It's going to be an FAI triangle probably, as long as it looks like a triangle. Mm-hmm. If you're doing the sort of the out and return type triangle and back, three out and returns, then obviously you need to look at your the three points that you go to see if they make a triangle as it's happening. But if you're actually flying the legs of the triangle, then you can see it forming as you go, as long as you've got a picture in front of you.
Okay, getting back to planning a triangle. Did you ever sit down with a map and work out what the terrain was like, for example, measuring distances between two points like Corndon and the Mynd?
Did I, heck? No, really, it just kind of happened by wanting to fly out in front of the hill first and thinking, oh, this is possible, you know, just be confident and assume it's going to work. There are clouds out there. Why can't you? You can fly downwind to clouds. Why can't you fly upwind to clouds, you know? You enter them differently because the thermals are opposite, but, you know, the glider's perfectly capable of doing that and hitting the speed bar a bit and realising that you can fly quite far out in front. And then, yeah, then from there, really thinking, well, now if I can do that, maybe I can fly over there to Bishop's Castle or somewhere. And yeah, not really, it wasn't really that planned, no.
You said earlier about entering thermals from the opposite side. Would you say that flying a triangle, pushing upwind and flying crosswind is different from a normal downwind XC flight?
Not really, no, I think it's more just psychological. I think you have to grin and bear the sink and keep on the bar and just basically grin and bear it and keep at it until you do get through it. Obviously, yeah, the type of glider helps, to have a good glider for that. Be interested to have a go at triangles now on a 2, because when I had a 2, I wasn't even contemplating them. Obviously, the technology's coming a long way. Yeah, I think really it's a case of hitting the bar when you need to, I think. I mean, I don't really push more than half bar, but sometimes you need to get cut through and just get yourself that bit further upwind. That you can just feel sometimes that you need to get that bit further upwind to get out of this air into the air that's making that cloud above you happen. Another thing is, how strong are the climbs? Obviously, if it's breezy-ish, then you need strong climbs to make the triangle happen. So you climb faster, then you drift backwards and make progress forwards to the next cloud. How strong are the climbs and how close are the clouds? If the clouds are close, then you can just kind of hop between them upwind and it works. like very close, I mean, like a kilometre apart or something. And then it's good to take, when you see that build, you know, take the opportunity to use it. Don't mess about climbing in a two up, just push forward and get on with it.
A common technique when flying triangle seems to be to fly out over the bottom landing field first, so that it's easier to close the triangle and get back and close the cylinder if you've got a long glide at the end. Do you do this?
Yeah, I mean, if you fly a pure triangle and start out in front, then pretty well done that, which, it's nice to know that you have that option. And if, say, you're struggling to get away, you may as well take that time to just give yourself that option when you come back, so you've covered that ground out in front of the hill. Yeah, it's a good plan, definitely. When I did that flight from the Riken, yeah, I made it back to the top of the hill, but only just. I landed on top, but literally one turn and I was on having to land, because I hit 8 down all the way on the final glide. But I wasn't worried about the 8 down, because I knew that I was going to, worst case, close it at the bottom of the hill. So, yeah, really good thing to do, yeah.
Okay, so what do you think are the biggest attributes that you need to have if you want to be successful at triangle flying?
Yeah, you need to be flexible when you're doing a triangle flight, definitely. You have to have a basic plan, but you have to be prepared to change the plan. Patience. You know, I find that when I'm decided to do a triangle and I set off, I'm really have no feeling of impatience. Whereas on a downwind flight, I can get quite impatient. I know I have a reputation for being very patient, but actually I can get really quite impatient and push on and want to push on, you know. Whereas when you're doing a triangle flight, I just don't feel a sense of urgency at all, because I think, you know, there's plenty of time. The day's getting better as the day goes on. It's going to get easier, unless you've got a forecast of wind picking up or something like that. So although now, actually, as I'm doing bigger triangles or trying to do bigger triangles, that feeling of impatience has come back a bit, because the day does run out, you know. But again, I think you should remember that, you know, in this high summer, the days you can be flying till 8 o'clock in the evening, so thermally until 8 o'clock in the evening, so it's just worth remembering to be patient when you should be, and that you can be more patient with triangle flights. I mean, just staying in the air can make the flight happen. I remember I had one flight where, I think the first leg took me 2 hours, 8K or something, and then the next two legs took me 1 hour, and then I was able to stretch it when I got back because the conditions were easy, so the 8K leg became a lot longer by stretching it. So that was a great case of just stay in the air, be patient, as long as you're going up. I think I was in one thermal at 1,000 feet for half an hour, and after half an hour I still at 1,000 feet, and I hadn't actually moved sideways either. That was a great feat of patience. And then suddenly it all built under me and up I went to base. From there I finished the flight. So definitely worth being patient on triangle flights. Because I think also, because, you know, you've got the multiplier effect for the league. If it's a league that's motivating you, then, you know, you can do all the hard work and blow it and all you score is like 25-30k. Or be patient at the right time and it's multiplied by nearly 3.
There's quite a lot of different types of triangle records, but you don't usually declare your triangles, do you?
No, I've not declared a triangle. Maybe I will start to that. Maybe that will evolve in my flying, I don't know, but it probably makes sense to plan a few triangles and have them on your phone ready to declare. And yeah, declare it, why not? But don't do the flight just to do the declaration, because unless it's a brilliant day, it'll probably put you on the deck. It definitely, for me, definitely the triangle, part of the fun of it anyway is for it to evolve, you know, to use what you see around you and make use of, you know, what possible lift, you know, is around you at that time.
In the past, you've mentioned some strategies to me about crossing your track so you've got a smaller triangle, or crossing your track so you've got an out and return flight, and you can use that as an insurance against failing to complete your triangle. Can you just talk me through those again?
It can be a good plan to change the triangle that you're trying to achieve if the conditions have changed. There's one day when I was attempting a triangle over the back of the Mynd, going towards Shrewsbury northwards, and then I thought I would push west from there, get beyond the Stiper Stones to the west, and then do the easy downwind leg back to the Mynd. But the wind picked up by the time I'd got done the north leg, and it really wasn't possible to go west. And you're sort of fighting against rising ground, trying to go upwind onto rising ground. and the wind was getting stronger, and it was possible to stay up. Every time I climbed, I was getting drifted back where I'd started. And I thought, I made about 7K progress westwards, but I didn't get over the high ground I needed to have an easier time, really, the other side of it. So I thought, right, I'll just head back to Stretton, and I'll still get a triangle, but a smaller one. You know, at this point, I was north of Stretton, and I'd done 7K west. So I was able, basically, to make about a 24K triangle, I think. Didn't quite do 25, so I didn't get the full multiplier, but I was able to get back to Stretton, and I just... Remember, another thing is you don't have to cross the track. You can be, with the double loop gap, you can be 800 metres from crossing your track. And I actually was, I think I was 798 on that one. So I scored 50K, something like that for it. So yeah, out of a failed triangle, I made a smaller triangle. It was interesting to do that.
Or a flat triangle?
Yeah, I mean, a flat triangle is basically a glorified out and return, really. So if you did an out and return, you will be entering a flat triangle into league, because there's bound to be some third component to it. But another strategy, if you are doing an out and return or a flat triangle, is to, when you're coming back, make sure you do close that gap, that 800 metre gap, so that if you then fail to complete what you wanted, at least you've got that part of it completed so far. So keep crossing your track, basically, as you come back.
So if it gets really tricky, do you ever abandon the idea of a triangle and then just go down Windex C?
In May, I had a flight when I was desperately trying to do a triangle, and I had to force myself to go downwind and just commit to going downwind. It was a real psychological battle I had for about 20 minutes in the air. I tried to fly upwind towards to begin closing the triangle, and I got halfway to a cloud. There was only that cloud to go for, nothing else out beyond it. And I thought, this is just suicide. Why am I doing this? So I turned around before I got to cloud. Lost loads of height, went back to where I had been. Luckily, there was still some lift around, reclimbed, and then committed myself to going downwind and a long day and a retrieve. Yeah, I haven't done it often, but that's definitely a very clear example, and I was glad I did. It was a good day.
Thanks so much, Kai. That's really brilliant.